our hearts have already been heavy and hurting, watching so many people suffering and dying from this disease. And our hearts are even more heavier now, knowing that Rose Cole is no longer with us. We are shocked and unprepared at the news of Rose's sudden passing. Our hearts and prayers go out to Tamara and Scott, as well as to everyone who knew Rose so well at this church. The joy and the happiness and the smiles that she brought to us with her gift and grace, especially decorating our sanctuary so beautifully with all the flowers, poinsettias, and the lilies. We just can't put it into the words how crushed we all are. And I know that Rose still wants us to come together during this difficult time to remember and to celebrate the meaning of this season as we remember her death and her resurrection. And this is indeed the time that we're going to need our Lord and Savior more than ever before. And so on this Palm Sunday, we welcome our Lord and Savior into our hearts as we remember how Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly to save the whole world. Hosanna, Hosanna, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I invite you to the reading of our gospel account of this Palm Sunday, coming from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and a colt, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God. Will you join me in a prayer? Oh, gracious God, we come to you on this day to remember and celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem as we welcome him into our hearts once again, especially during this difficult time. Our hearts are indeed heavy and heartbroken, and we are all crying with so many people who have lost their lives. And we are crying at the loss of our dear beloved Rose. And so come, O God, come to comfort us and to give us the peace and to give us the strength to go on in the midst of all the loss, knowing that we can still come together and get through this with the help of one another, but most of all, with the help of the one who come to save us, Jesus the Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Hosanna loud, Hosanna, the little children sing. Through pillared court and temple, the lovely anthem rang. To Jesus who had blessed them, close folded to his breast, the children sang their praises, the simplest and the best. From Olivet they followed mid an exultant crowd, the victor palm branch waving and chanting clear and loud. The Lord of earth and heaven rode on in lowly state, nor scorn that little children should on his being wait. Hosanna in the highest, that ancient song we sing, for Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven, our King.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning, kids' church. Hopefully, a lot of you are on here. All right, so most of you guys, I'm talking to the kids, but everybody again, most of you have been around long enough to know that this is the Sunday where we wave the palms and we follow our little gray donkey with the funky tail down through the sanctuary, right? But the world has changed, and so will we. So today, let's imagine Connor and Parker's dad, Patrick, because so many men in the church applied for the position, but Patrick won. And so he was going to be Jesus today. So let's imagine him with our funky little donkey as he takes us on this little journey. So Jesus and his friends, they were walking to Jerusalem, right, to take part in the Passover celebration. Now, they had made this journey every year, so it was a very familiar journey, a very familiar walk, but this time, Jesus knew that this was going to be the last time that he would take this walk. So after a while they're walking, Jesus asked two of them to go ahead of him and get a small donkey. Okay, so this is my favorite part of the story, because it's so random that he would just ask them to go ahead and get a donkey. But I love that God is in the details. Like we're always teaching you guys, God knows every little detail. And so the details of his plans are so minute, but he has them all figured out. He knows that the people in Jerusalem are waiting for a king. So a king usually comes in on a big decorated horse, right? And so everybody knows that that's the king. But God knows, Jesus is a humble man. That would not be his style to come in like that. But God wants him to ride in, not walk in. He wants him to be, it to be special and to for the people to recognize that this is Jesus, this is their Savior. So, all right, so this is the other cool part of the story, sorry. But the disciples, they trust Jesus so much that they don't even say why. They don't question it. They don't say, why do you want us to go get a donkey? They just go. They just go, and of course, like all the other details, there's a donkey. There's a donkey up ahead. He's tied up. to the opposed, but they just untie him. And nobody bugs them. Nobody asks them about why you're taking the donkey. All worked out. God had that all planned out. All right. So I keep thinking about Patrick walking down there with the donkey. So as sure enough, that's exactly what happens, that Jesus and the disciples are coming in. Jesus is on the donkey and the people see, they see that this is the king. This is who they've been waiting for. They're so excited. They've heard all these great things about him. And so this is where, picture this part. Here comes Patrick, the donkey with the funky tail hanging out the back. Hopefully he doesn't fall off. And we're all waving palm branches, right? And we are just like the people of Jerusalem, welcoming Jesus into our church, into our lives, waving the palms and saying, Hosanna. Hosanna is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means adoration and praise and joy. And we can do that all the time. We don't have to just do that on Palm Sunday. So I'm loving the palms. The kids made palms and they're so great. And of course, now I just want to cry. So the people kept cheering him on until they got to the temple. So we will continue to cheer for him. We're going to do that at the end when all the mics are opened up. We'll all wave our palms and yell, scream, Hosanna, and praise his name. I love seeing you guys. Anyhow, thank you.
Now I'm going to read the scripture, another scripture for today, from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning again. This is hard, isn't it? You know, we should be in our beautiful sanctuary. We should be joining on parade and, like Amy says, watching Patrick and all the children coming down the aisle, waving palm branches. But there is none of that, no donkey, no children waving. Although Amy Eads have something special in plan after we have our worship during our fellowship time. But again, none of which we can't do physically on this Palm Sunday. It's very difficult. And, you know, I have some memorable Palm Sunday worship experiences with the parades. And I'm sure you do too, like children, you know, playing Jesus, falling off the donkey, the replica donkey that they were riding on. Fortunately, none of them were seriously hurt. One year, I remember an adult got on that replica donkey and it broke the donkey. The wheels came off and just a whole mess. And then I remember a story that I think I shared with you before, about a pastor who over the years tried to ride a donkey into the church service on Palm Sunday. One year he attempted to ride a donkey but was soon unceremoniously dislodged. On another occasion, he sat on the donkey for 20 minutes and it never moved. And the donkey on several occasions had its own sense of direction. On one occasion, once moving, the donkey had no intention of stopping at the entrance to the church, but proceeded right inside and all the way to the altar. Finally, the pastor pauses and wonders if Jesus didn't decide to ride a donkey into Jerusalem just to keep succeeding generations of pastors humble. Today, the Christian churches around the world will find a way to celebrate one of the most colorful events of its faith heritage, this triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Doesn't matter whether we cannot get together in our beautiful sanctuaries, and yet we find a way to come together digitally to celebrate and to remember, because you know this day humbles us in more ways than a pastor's bad experience of riding of a donkey. Now, when Matthew tells the story in his gospel, he becomes so caught up in the spirit of the occasion. He has Jesus riding on two animals, actually, instead of one. Verse 7, it says, the disciples brought the donkey and the colt and spread their cloaks upon them, and Jesus sat on them. And he also quotes not just one prophet, but two, both Zechariah and Isaiah. You see, he wanted to make it clear that the Messiah, the King, the Savior for whom the people have waited so long, is this one coming into the city. Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, mounted on a donkey. Again, the point is clear, that royalty is on the way. He is the fulfillment of all that messianic claim made in the Old Testament. But it is the kind of royalty that people have never seen before. In fact, on that day, there was another procession, actually two procession, while Jesus was entering Jerusalem. From the east, there was a large crowd coming in with Pontius Pilate on a war horse and all the chariots with huge military following of cavalry and soldiers. They come because there was always this potential, this possibility for riots during the Jewish festival of Passover. And then there was the King Herod. King Herod wanted to display his own power. So he came in from the west entrance to let people know that he is the king. And of course, 2,000 years later, after Jesus's entry into Jerusalem, another visitor came to the city, Germany's last Kaiser, Wilhelm II. And in fact, we're told that his entourage was so grand, so big, that he had to have that famous Jaffa Gate in the old city widened so that his oversized carriage could pass through. And after the parade had ended, someone climbed up and attached a large sign to the gate. And the sign read, "A better man than Wilhelm II came through this city's gate, and he rode on a donkey." Let me ask you, what made Jesus's entry different? What was it about him that compelled the people to spread their cloaks and wave their branches in the air some 2,000 years ago? And even churches today. What is about him that, you know, that still inspires so many people to give their lives to him? Was it all the miracles that he performed, all the healings, or bringing a dead man to life? Perhaps. But here's Apostle Paul this morning in the text that Laura just read for us. Paul says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, what is that mind? What does that mind look like? In fact, Paul, you know, places emphasis on this state of the mind as central to not only his faith, but also our faith. In fact, 39 times in his letters, Paul refers to this mind, the mind of Christ. And nowhere has this mind of Christ been more eloquently expressed than by Paul in his letter to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It was the mind of a humble man. It was the mind that put him on the back of that donkey. It was that mind that opened his eyes to see the people who were being put down by the society, people who were suffering. It was the mind that brought him to his knees before the disciples so that he could wash their feet on the night of his betrayal. His mind led him to the cross when he poured out his blood and life to face this punishment in our place. The words of Isaiah 53 echo through Christians through the history. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, can we have that same mind? Can we live that way too? The answer is yes and no. First, the answer is no, we can't. Not in the sense of transplanting that divine perspective into ourselves. That is through our own efforts, through our own works. Certainly that is impossible. Instead, this sense of receiving the gift of transformation is through him who became completely one of us and defeated everything so that we ourselves may be transformed and have Christ-like mind. And so it is only by his grace we could be like him. And that was central message of John Wesley. The grace that allows us to be more like him. And you might ask, what does Christ-like mind look like as we live in today's world? Of course, we can see it clearly in the great saints and martyrs like Mother Teresa or Dr. King or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I could go on. I can see it clearly in the people of the United Methodist Church going beyond their calling to serve others. As you know, college basketball's March Madness, like all sports events, has been canceled. But I'm drawn again to Dr. Pletcher, who suggests in his book, Narratives of a Venerable God, as he uses an illustration from the world of basketball. Dr. Pletcher writes, in basketball, the players who are always asking, how am I doing? Am I gonna get my fair share of shots? I wanna take that last shot. Those are the ones who never reach their full potential. It is the players who lose themselves, who find themselves. And it's that kind of self-forgetfulness that makes the best players. In fact, I was browsing through my bookshelves the other day and came across John Wooden, famous coach, UCLA basketball, John Wooden. And he talks about this. And he writes, and he says, he talks about how he values a player who cared for others and could lose himself in the group for the good of the group. Best players don't always make the best team, John Wooden says. In fact, they may ultimately hurt the team. And isn't that the case with all of us in whatever we do, especially in the life of the church? Self-forgetfulness. And during this coronavirus crisis, we have been hearing the sacrifices that people are making, forgetting self, risking their lives, doctors, nurses, healthcare professionals, first responders, teachers, strangers, and neighbors. How Jesus found the courage and strength to lay down his life for so many, no one could say. There is no great love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It is that mind of Christ. You toss aside that part of yourself that is always watching, how am I doing? That me first mentality. But in self-forgetfulness, you become most fully yourself. And I think this is the greatest paradox of human existence. The church is called to demonstrate this humble mind. We should seek to embody in our church life such love, hopefulness, such faithfulness, such patience, such forgiveness, such kindness in all that we do, in our outreach and mission work, but also in how we should treat one another inside the church. And that could only be possible if we have the same mind that we, or that was in Christ Jesus. There's a famous Christian writer, Ann Weems. She writes these words about Palm Sunday and the week that unfolds before us again. And she calls it between parades. She writes, we are good at planning. Give us a task, give us something to do, call it a project or whatever. We are off and running, no trouble at all. Going to the village and finding the colt, even negotiating with the owners is right down our alley. We generously throw our coats and palms in his path. And we should praise loudly enough to make the Pharisees complain, it's all so good. But it's in between the parades that we don't do so well. From Sunday to Sunday, we forget our hosannas. It would be so easy to forget that mind of Christ who suffered so much for us. It's not easy to choose this somber story of good men who was betrayed and deserted, arrested and tried, stripped and whipped and crucified, who even descended into the hell, according to some traditions. But that's what he did for all of us. What a powerful acknowledgement that there is no human experience, no height, no depth, no loss, no pain, no place that Jesus has not entered into for all of us, which is why we call this week that we are about to enter in our calendar the Holy Week. Perhaps we should be grateful that this Holy Week comes in the midst of this coronavirus crisis. Everybody is telling us next 2 weeks is going to be just heartbreaking. It's going to get worse. But there's Jesus who tells us and reminds us, I've been there. In Matthew's account of Palm Sunday, Jesus tells the two disciples, go into the village and you will find the donkey and colt. And when they ask, just tell them, the Lord needs them. The Lord needs them. Now, why would God need a donkey and a colt who aren't so smart, you know, who aren't so fast? Maybe God needs something or someone with whom to be in relationship. We may not be so smart or so fast, but God needs us. God needs us. And this is why God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Love leads God to give for the world. God needed something or someone to truly embody selfless love in Christ. The Lord needs them. The Lord needs you more than ever before. The Lord needs us. The Lord needs this United Methodist Church of Thousand Oaks. And so we are concluding our Lenten journey, the walk. And you'll recall in the book, we began the journey by asking what Prophet Micah asked, when he asked, what does the Lord require of you? I like to paraphrase that question by saying, what is this crisis teaching us? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. This crisis, and of course, the transition that you and I will be going through in the next few weeks, is teaching us that we should be more humble, to have the mind of Christ. Walk humbly with God to where God is leading us. Walk humbly with God. And I hope that's one of the things that we can all carry to get us, not only get us out of this crisis, but also to live with and by for the rest of our lives, to walk humbly with God. And I hope that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bend. I hope your heart will bow before him. I hope your hosannas will ring to the highest heaven. I hope you will remember that humble mind. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. May it be so. Amen. We're moving into this time of prayer as we lift up all of our loved ones. Again, the chat line is there for you to just lift up the prayers for the ones who have been in your hearts and in your prayers. And of course, our hearts go out to Tamara and Scott Cole with the loss of Rose. Bill Moran, I just talked to Shirley Moran yesterday. Bill was put on hospice as of this week. And so our thoughts and prayers are with Bill and also Shirley. Our prayers continue to go out with the Whalen family. Will you just pause for a moment with me in prayers as we go to God, lifting up all of our prayers for one another, for strangers, for those medical professionals in the front lines, the teachers, everyone who are in harm's way during this time of crisis. Let us pause for a moment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers as we continue to gather in prayer, knowing that we need to be together more than ever before to go through this challenging time, this difficult time. Again, situations like this remind us that we can't do this alone, that we need each other. But most of all, we need you, O God, to continue to guide us and lead us, giving us the strength and the comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers as we sure wish that we could have been there with the people waving the branches with joy so long ago, and to be the witness of the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Yes, instead of being at our lovely church, we continue to find ourselves at home. We are uncertain about the future, worried for our loved ones. We know fully well that Easter is coming, and we know how Jesus suffered and died for all of us. But we are still afraid, worried, uncertain. And so, Lord, we ask you once again that you would calm our hearts, that you would blow your Holy Spirit into our spirit so that we may find strength and encouragement and the boldness to go forward. Help us to remember the Maundy Thursday, the new commandments that Jesus taught before he left the world, the Good Friday of our lives. Help us to go through this Holy Week to truly embrace the meaning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers as we seek the courage to walk with Jesus all the way to the cross. And we seek your guidance during this Holy Week and during this challenging time. We lift to you those who are suffering and dying from this virus. We pray for the families who can't be with their loved ones by their bedsides. We lift up all of our medical professionals in the front lines, the first responders, the teachers, the poor, the hungry, those who have lost their jobs, those in our government, the leaders. We lift them all up to you, O God, that you would surround them the way only you can surround them and giving them strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers as we lift up the prayers for the family of Rose Cole. We're grateful, we are grateful for the life that you have shared with us in Rose Cole. We are grieving. We are remembering what you have done through Rose Cole in our family life. We lift up Bill Moran, O God, as we know that he is facing the last days of his life. We lift up Shirley as she faces her own medical challenges, and as she provides comfort and strength for Bill. We continue to lift up the Whalen family, especially Kiara, so that she might find strength and healing. All these things, O God, we ask in the name of our Lord, the one who came to be with us and save us, the one who taught us to pray to you by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before we do our closing song, I want to just take this moment to share a couple announcements with you. I'm going to check the chat line. We lift up all these prayer requests, of course. Okay, we lift up all these prayers in the chat line. In God's mercy. People have been asking, of course, about the service arrangement for Rose. I talked to Tamara a couple days ago, and what will happen is that just between the immediate family and myself, and possibly Pastor Terry Bouchard, the mortuary will be able to provide some sort of burial service between five or six of us. And the time or the schedule has not been set, but that is coming first, probably after Easter. And then down the line, perhaps in August, that there will be a celebration of life at the church. So please, if anybody asks, let them know that this is the arrangement that we are planning to go with. And so for more questions, they can always contact me. And also, people have been asking about what are we doing as a church while we are locked down and hunkered down. But you probably have noticed that we as a church are keeping ourselves very busy. Again, the place to go to is to see what's going on in our church life is that the e-blasts that Rosalind sends out on Friday, but also that I am sending out from time to time, as well as Amy. And so you probably have noticed that this Friday's e-blast contains lots of opportunities to come together in worship. This is Holy Week, and Laura Marlo and the worship committee have suggested lots of ideas for observing the Holy Week with your loved ones and with your families. There are a lot of activities, and so I hope that you can go to the e-blast and use some of the ideas and activities that that we are suggesting to remember this Holy Week with your loved ones. There is also many opportunities to make masks. You have heard, I'm sure, the shortage of masks all over the country, especially for our medical professionals. So there are opportunity to make masks and donate money to that cause. Debbie Schrader, I believe, is leading one of those groups. So please contact Debbie for that opportunity to make more masks. And also, as far as delivering lunches to the families in our community in needs, Dory and many people are coming together every day, Monday through Friday, right at our church kitchen. And then we have drivers who are delivering the lunches to those family in need. So if you would like to help out for that cause, please see Dory for that. And finally, I just want to thank you all for your faithful giving, even during this time of uncertainty. And you have been very gracious, giving your tithes and your pledges faithfully, especially to the pastor's discretionary fund. And so from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of the church, I thank all of you for your faithful giving. And I also want to ask you that if you know of any in our church families who could use a little financial assistance, please don't hesitate to let me know so that Candace and I can find a way to help them during this time. Just let them know that, again, what we are hearing from our leaders, that we need to go through this together. And so those small things that we do are a visible reminder that we're here to help each other, that we are helped, especially to help those in need. So please let me know as well. So I think with that, if there's more announcements at the end of the service, Rick is going to open up the floodgates and let you come in and share whatever that's in your mind. And if there's any announcements that we need to know, you may be able to share at the time. And of course, stay tuned for Amy's celebration of the Palm Sunday parade with the children. And so I hope that you will stick around for that. One thing that I forgot to remind you to all be in prayers is that as we go through transition together, I am praying for whoever is going to be your next pastor will lead you. And I hope that that you will continue to pray for me and Mina and my family as we transition to our next assignment. But know that I will continue to lift up UMCTO in my prayers. So thank you.
All right. We've been doing a lot of preparing lately in these days of crisis and things we need at home and such. But let's ask the Lord to help us prepare our hearts for this Holy Week that we've only just begun. So prepare the way. We'll sing through the verse and the chorus, and then we'll repeat it again. So. Prepare the way, make straight the path for him, let the King of Glory enter in, let the King of Glory enter in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty to save. The earth is full of his glory. Creation calls, prepare the way. His love endureth forever. His power is without an end. His strength is victory's treasure. Let all who call his name prepare the way. Prepare the way. Prepare the way, make straight the path for him, let the King of Glory enter in, let the King of Glory enter in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord is strong and mighty, the Lord mighty to save. The earth is full of his glory, creation calls, prepare the way. His love endureth forever. His power is without an end. His strength is victory's treasure. Let all who call his name prepare the way. Let the
entering, let the King of Glory enter in, let the King of Glory enter in, let the King of Glory enter in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord is strong and mighty, the Lord mighty to save. The earth is full of his glory, creation calls, prepare the way. His love endureth forever, his power is with out in end. His strength is victory's treasure. Let all who call his name prepare the way.
Amen. And thank you, Laura. Before my benediction, you know, this is, of course, happening because there's so much going on. I had the prayer request for Pam Wilson written right over here and totally forgot. You have received the special email asking for prayers for Pam. So again, I ask for your special prayers for Pam Wilson. She has gone through so many painful surgeries over the last year. Just can't help but to just cry with Pam. But we're hoping that the surgery was successful, and by all accounts that it was. And so we pray for the healing for Pam Wilson. And also I want to let you know that as we go through this Holy Week, we are going to have our Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday service at 7 o'clock. Invitation will go out. Good Friday service will focus on the last seven words of Jesus on the cross. And we will have some music in both services. And then we will come together once again, digitally, online, through Zoom, to celebrate the risen Christ on Easter Sunday morning. And so again, stay tuned for all the invitations that are coming to you this week through eBlast. And I just like to, again, thank so many of you who, as God is leading us to this new territory of online service, this was done at the last minute. And since then, we had so many people who have technical expertise to put it together. And so I'd like to thank all those people for their gift and grace to this new area. But as we go forth into this Holy Week, I can't emphasize enough the importance of community. And that's going to be so much more important, a key to how we can overcome this crisis and this transition that we are all in. So I have a special blessing for our community as we go into the world. May the blessing of God fall on our community. May it be a safe place full of understanding and acceptance, where you can be as you are, without the need of any mask, except the mask that you're supposed to wear during this time, especially when you go out. May this place be one of discovery of the love of God, the peace of Jesus, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, where from the clay, all can emerge to deepen and refine their knowledge of your kingdom. We will rise, folks. We will rise from this clay stronger, and it will deepen and refine our knowledge of who God is. So go in peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.